I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear friend.
Thank you so very much for joining us. We've been discussing some examples in the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding his self-care routine and the precise, intricate attention he paid to all the details, whether it was regarding his hair, his skin, his aroma, his
personal hygiene.
So important. And it just comes to show that Islam is such a multifaceted religion, and it's not just a stringent list of do's and don'ts, otherwise you'll burn in hell for all of eternity. It's a lifestyle, you know?
You know, this hadith that says, if you spend one dirham for henna, it's like, it's even more than giving money for charity. It's like, I couldn't believe it myself that Islam gives so much attention to your
physical appearance.
To your physical appearance. And because it just doesn't affect you as a person, but it affects you and your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with the whole society. So it's like, it has like extended rays of influence everywhere.
So Muslim ladies out there, you have no excuse not to be fabulous.
Exactly.
Take really good care of yourselves. And don't even look at it as luxury or indulgence. It's your God-given right. In fact, it's your duty to try to maintain your beauty and your youth, because it affects you, it affects your mentality, it affects your husband, it affects your children. It is a form of women's empowerment when your daughter sees at home how pretty mommy is, how mommy smells good all the time, how daddy's always saying to mommy that she's beautiful, she's like a queen. I want to grow up and be like mommy.
This is
instead
so
of like, I want to grow up and be like that random supermodel.
Exactly. This is very beautiful that you just mentioned. I want to today talk about, actually, the Noble Prophet had a routine for certain things that he did. For example, for his bedtime routine, he applied kohl with collyrium. Collyrium, I think it's a kind of, it was a medicine that was used for the eye. And someplace I saw kohl and collyrium being used interchangeably. These days when they're making kohl, they take nuts, they burn them, and the powder, the ashes of those nuts, they use it as kohl for the eyes.
Oh, so it's some sort of like natural eyeliner.
Exactly, natural eyeliner.
But I believe you're supposed to apply it inside the eyes rather
Not
than that
the
on
outside.
The external. Okay.
And it's interesting that these days women, using kohl is something that women usually do.
But back then men did it too.
Men did it too.
Interesting. In some regions men still do it, especially the subcontinent.
Really?
Indian, Pakistani men, Afghan men, I've seen a lot of them still applying.
So the Prophet used to do it every single night before going to bed.
Oh, so while he shuts his eyes,
it
all
gets
those properties
goes inside and, you know, gets absorbed by the body.
Okay.
And the miswak, you know, it was a kind of plant that
basically,
natural brush.
Yeah, it's the natural toothbrush, which has surprisingly been trending so much in the Western world lately.
They're actually selling in herbal shops.
Exactly. 1,400 years ago, our prophet was totally rocking it.
Right.
And it looks, you know, harmless enough. It looks like a piece of stick, but it's a very specific type species of wood, and it has a slight scent, and it's constantly damp, mm-hmm. unlike other sticks that once removed from their roots, they dry out.
I think I once watched a YouTube video about how to use the miswak, mm-hmm. and it has, you have to go through a procedure mm-hmm. so that that stick would be applicable,
ready
for use, right?
Mm-hmm.
But back then, and even now, as it's become very trendy. Mm-hmm.
And the cool part about it is you don't need to apply toothpaste on it anymore.
Exactly. It has natural toothpaste. So these two were part of the bedtime routine of the Prophet. And I want to talk about one specific thing that the Prophet liked a lot in his life. And there are a hadith that says that when this kind of gift was given to the Prophet, he never refused it, and he immediately used it, and he gave some compliment about it.
Wow, what is it?
Perfume. He loved perfume, and everybody knew.
We're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
In one hadith in Sunan al-Nabi, I read and I was like, oh my God, the Prophet, he applied perfume. It's not like the alcohol kind
it's
of
oily
thing.
Oily substance,
right.
Yeah.
And they would say that after every wudu, the noble Prophet would apply, would take out, I think he had his perfume everywhere he went, right?
He carried it himself,
and his favorite perfume was musk.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it was like natural, fabulous smell. And he used it so much that people say when we went somewhere and we could know that the Prophet was there or not.
From the scent
from
he left
the smell
in the air.
That he left.
Beautiful.
He refreshed the fragrance and the perfume every time he made wudu. For a woman, if your husband pays so much attention to the fragrance, to his odor, to the smell of his body, because the Prophet didn't just put perfume on his body. He paid attention, because in the ahadith we have that if you shave, if you remove the extract hair from your armpit, it removes the bad smell, which the Prophet did and was part of his sunnah.
Mm.
The Prophet, every Friday, did the deprecatory thing for his body, right? Such a hygienic process and routine that he had every single week. He would go through the process. He would apply the henna on his body and his hair. Such a clean person. And then on top of that, you have so much perfume. Imagine your husband, as you know, the husband of a Muslim lady, paying so much attention to hygiene and to self-appearance. Mm. This would, I swear by God, it would increase the love and affection between the couple so much that she would fall in love with her husband. First, talk about the perfumes. Okay, so...
Now that you said perfume, I just remembered a hadith from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, and it said people would recognize the spot in which Rasulullah prayed from the scent of his perfume that he left on the rug or on the mat or on the floor when he went for sajda.
Wow.
They would they'd be able to sniff out where Rasulullah sat. That's how much aromatic his eminence was.
Subhanallah.
It's beautiful.
And remember in one of the verses of the Noble Quran where two of his wives plotted against him, mm-hmm. that your mouth smells because you have eaten that honey or that whatever, and he stopped eating that. He cared so much about the opinion of his wives, and he wanted to be,
considered
as a good husband for them, that he actually listened to their concerns, although it was not true, and he knew it wasn't true. The Holy Prophet also would burn incense in his home or in the mosque or whatever.
That is so important. Ladies, You step into the house, it smells like fried onions. You step into the bathroom, it smells like old diapers.
We women, we Muslim women, can apply the sunnah of the Prophet in, you know, these self-care tips in our own lifestyle.
For sure.
Based on our own needs.
Absolutely.
So we just have to be creative. Mm. We just have to be thoughtful.
Yes.
Right? Just like you said. And you know, sometimes, Zainab, lighting a little candle or burning a little incense hires the quality of your life and your time with your spouse and with your children to such an extent that it just qualifies your relationship and qualifies your family. These little things matter.
Definitely. Absolutely. You know, it's these little details that the children and the husband pick up in the wife or in the mom's routine and her actions.
It makes that woman so much more respectable.
Exactly. We're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I was reading, actually a long time ago when I was still young and into the celebrity nonsense, I just want to say how important it is, a celebrity, because especially with celebrities, they're constantly divorcing, right? Yeah. I get tired of this spouse, I go marry another gorgeous celebrity. And then there was this specific celebrity who was talking about what's the secret behind your 20 plus years of marriage. Mm-hmm. And he was like, these little things my wife does. Mm-hmm. They were Australian. And he said, no matter where we go, because I'm shooting on set, we get to the hotel, she begins to use eucalyptus essential oils in the room and it makes us feel like we're home.
Wow.
These little things that captures the man's heart, captures the children's heart, makes them feel like mom puts so much effort to making this house a home for us.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And that's how it just glues the family together.
This is so important, Zainab.
So important.
You know, a lot of people... I was actually watching this movie. I'm watching it to analyze the movie, Replacing Friends. Mm. And yeah, it is trying to say that it is these little seemingly unimportant things in life that actually makes life life.
Definitely.
It's not like two big things happening and you say, theory number one, theory number two, and you're happy.
Mm.
No, it's just these little details that matter.
Little details. And right? How much Rasulullah paid attention to these little details.
Exactly.
Do this to your hair, do this to your skin, do this to your teeth, do this to your body, do this to your space, do this to your smell. When you want to go to the bathroom, when you want to come out of the bathroom, when you want to shower, how many times you should shower, what you should eat before and after you shower.
Exactly. And remember this beautiful narration that we have from Lady Fatima,
salamu
alayha, that the Prophet was inside the house of, I think it was Salama.
Mm-hmm.
And then the children, the little ones, come one by one and they say, Ashumu, I can smell the noble Prophet.
Right? I can smell a beautiful fragrant
of Rasulullah.
Yeah. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, for all
thank
these
you.
Interesting and practical tips regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beauty routine. And inshallah ta'ala, as Muslim women, I hope that we are able to draw inspiration from these matters and implement them into our lives so we can be happier and more fabulous. Until another episode of the show, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the Lover? Allah. Who is Ar-Rahman? Allah. Who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
Allah, Allah, Allahu Akbar.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger to Allah.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.